The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to the Phillies Today podcast. This is Wednesday, December 4th, 2024. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. A lot to get into today. We got some, you know, Phillies news. We got some news regarding perhaps the biggest free agent in baseball history, at least monetarily, and of course, just the dumbest rule change proposal maybe in the history of sports that we'll get to a little bit later on in the show here. I wanted to start with the news of the day with the Phillies. Gets announced, Matt Gelb reports. The Phillies not even going to meet with Juan Soto. So he's narrowing down his teams. It feels like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mets, Blue Jays apparently in the mix as well, are the teams for Juan Soto. Ultimately, the Phillies did not get a meeting with him. But the other news of the day is that apparently Kyle Tucker might be getting chopped around by the Astros. That could be something the Phillies pursue. So get to that in just one second. As far as them not getting a meeting, listen, I'm not losing sleep over it. Didn't feel like a real possibility that was going to happen. Didn't feel like the Phillies were really going to get him. Didn't feel like there was ever a world he was going to choose Philadelphia or the Phillies, you know, were going to, you know, ever potentially, you know, just ever potentially actually sign a guy like that. It just did not feel like it was going to happen. And, you know, as far as as far as like why I don't think they went after it, John Middleton had mentioned a few weeks ago, he was at a conference, that he did not think that he didn't want to get into a bidding war that he knew he was going to lose. I guess they view it as bad business. It's not worth tipping their hand. I was actually on with Jack Fritz a little bit earlier in the week discussing the possibility of this, and he had an interesting theory, which could be, it's like you don't want to, you're negotiating with Scott Boras. There could be a few things here. Number one, the one theory throughout, which I would really, really hope this is not true, but the one theory that we threw out, that he threw out, was, you know, hey, maybe the Phillies don't want to tip their hand with Scott Boras in regards to Juan Soto, because that gives him more leverage to ask for the Bryce Harper extension that they asked for a year ago, and, you know, Scott Boras would still love to have. So that was something that was interesting. And then the other interesting angle on it is, well, maybe they're just, you know, saving their energy for, you know, Kyle Tucker negotiation or, you know, something like that. Or just other negotiations that could potentially happen this offseason. The Bryce thing was so ridiculous last year. It was so out of touch. It didn't make any sense at all. I would really like to think that that was not what the overarching theme of this was. As far as you know, Tucker or anyone else who you might try and get from Boris this offseason. That makes a little bit more sense. You know, you're not going to get the guy anyway. I still would have liked to have the meeting. I mean, I don't know. It feels like you can't hurt. Everyone's checking in on Juan Soto. That guy's just going to be so different. It feels like he's going to get $700 million from the Mets. Just go meet with the guy, even if you know he's not going to. Just why not? But okay, they're not going to get Juan Soto. Now, Kyle Tucker's name's in the mix here. And it feels like this is just the latest trade rumor that is involving Alec Bohm. There's also a trade rumor that was potentially, you know, Bohm to the Mariners. One thing's for sure is that it does not feel like Alec Bohm will be coming back this offseason. It does not feel like... It feels like if the Phillies make any trade, Alec Bohm's the guy on the way out. And you think about the members of this core, Realmuto, Bohm, Stott, Marsh, those are really the tradable guys from your lineup, but Bohm feels like the most likely guy to go out of anyone in the lineup. And whether it's with the Mariners, whether it's with the Astros, whether it's with whoever, the White Sox, maybe in a Garrett Crochet deal, feels like Alec Bohm is not coming back. So I think I would have that on my off-season bingo card, that Alec Bohm will not return to the Phillies. That's kind of just where I stand on it. That's kind of where I think the Phillies stand on it. Not that there's it's impossible that one of the other guys would get moved. Not that it's impossible that, you know, Bohm returns next season. But it feels like his time in Philadelphia has frankly run its course. It doesn't... Listen, I love the guy. I tweet out every time he hits a home run, Alec Bohm swing, more beautiful than a California sunset. I do think he's got, you know, probably the most textbook swing on the team, but bit of a head case, bit of a, you know, seems like he emotionally kind of all over the place, not necessarily centered, and might have, you know, some good value for other teams as far as what guys are, you know, a team like the Astros are looking for to replace a third baseman or something like that. I don't know what a guy like Realmuto with 1 year left on his deal is going to bring, or Stott's going to bring, or Marsh is going to bring. It feels like Bohm, if anyone, would be the guy. So some interesting trade moves out there. Now, as far as going back to Soto, just from a baseball perspective, it sounds like, according to Jeff Passan, that move is going to come prior, at least by the end of the winter meeting. So we're talking like next week. So maybe within the next 7 days, we know where Juan Soto ultimately signs. You know, this is a lot different than the Bryce Harper, Manny Machado offseason. I think this is certainly better for the game than what we've seen in prior years. It's been a while since we've had an offseason that bad. In fact, I don't think we've had an offseason that bad and that drawn out since it happened. But yeah, Scott Boras last year, he took a lot of deals late into spring training, in particular with pitchers. It wasn't a good offseason for Scott Boras. He didn't get the money he was hoping for. Major League Baseball organizations, the owners, the teams, however you want to spin it, kind of took some of that power back. And now, finally, he might be trying to take, you know, the pendulum swings the other way here. He's got Juan Soto. He knows he's got the coveted prize of the offseason. Maybe he tries to... It doesn't sound like he's going to hold out very long. He's just going to go with, you know, Soto likely to go with the biggest offer. Maybe he is considering, you know, the ownership, the trajectory of each team. But ultimately, what's going to get Juan Soto is the biggest payday. Feels like the Mets are the favorite. They seem to be the odds-on favorite. Seems like Steve Cohen will match any offer that comes across the table because he just wants him that badly. Which, you know, not great that Juan Soto could be back in the division. Certainly not the same number of games of divisional play as we saw in the past. But for a team who just got eliminated by the Mets, the Phillies, to potentially that team is going to add Juan Soto after a trip to the NLCS. You know, not necessarily great as a Phillies fan. I'd prefer he stay in the American League. I'd prefer he sign with a team like the Yankees or the Red Sox. Although it's just the rich getting richer, and that's how the game works. You know, keep him in the AL. I could do without facing Juan Soto 14 times a year. That would certainly be a nightmare for Phillies pitching. But Kyle Tucker thing's interesting. That would be certainly an upgrade. I think for the Phillies lineup. I think certainly that would be the type of splash that should get people excited again about the team. You know, a lot of people exited last year, like a couple months ago, when the Phillies lost in October. It was like, oh, you can't bring the same team back. Like, there's going to be major shakeups in the lineup. And, you know, as I've said before, I don't know what major shakeups you're necessarily expecting. I don't know what major, you know, ruffling of the feathers anyone's expecting when it comes to this lineup. I think the lineup, you know, the core is going to be back for the most part. It's going to be, you know, marginal. Sorry about that. But anyway, what I was saying, it seems like Boehm is going to be moved this offseason. And I just think that is kind of his fate at this point. I think that's kind of where things are headed. And I just don't see any way that he's going to, not any way, but it seems most likely of anyone that he will not be back. On the other side, going to get into this atrocity of a rule idea from Rob Manfred, as well as a few other things. So stay tuned. That's on the other side of the Phillies Today podcast. Welcome back to the Phillies Today podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson. Got to get into this rule proposal that has the nation talking, to say the least. Everyone has an opinion on this golden at-bat rule. What a joke this thing is. What an absolute joke it is. This is not anything new. Everyone in the world is saying how dumb it is because it's deservingly getting that kind of recognition. This is the dumbest rule proposal change I've seen in the history of sports. There's not one person who actually likes the game of baseball who thinks this is a good move. Anyone who supports this doesn't actually like baseball and will not actually watch it because of it. It is so, like, just fundamentally not baseball. I, you know, as someone who grew up playing baseball, one of the greatest things about baseball is it's the ultimate team game. It's the ultimate, you know, sport where, you know, at the bottom of the lineup, you know, you got runners on, you got someone at the bottom of the lineup. Do you pinch hit? Do you try and move runners over? Do you try and, you know, how do you get through that bottom of the lineup to get your big bats back up? Having this golden at bat rule, for anyone who doesn't know what it is, basically is that once per game, each manager could deploy their best player to say, all right, we're going to deploy our best player just to hit in this one particular spot. So Bryce Harper, doesn't matter that you hit three batters ago and, you know, JT Realmuto's due up, you're hitting because the bases are loaded and it's the bottom of the ninth. Like, no friggin' way should that ever be allowed. No way that should this rule ever be allowed. It is fundamentally against baseball and baseball strategy. Again, it won't attract any new viewers. There have been a number of rule changes over the years here that were good for baseball, right? Like, I will die on the hill forever that I'm against the DH. I know I will be alone on that hill. I know the Phillies in particular have benefited from it immensely, but it just fundamentally doesn't feel like baseball to me. It feels like you should have to strategize around your pitcher hitting, whatever. You know, I get people want the extra hitter. That actually does add viewership to baseball. It adds offense. Fine. You add in things like you had the 7-inning doubleheaders for a little bit there during COVID. That was stupid. Glad they got rid of that. You have the 3-batter minimum. Cool. You know, I liked it how it was, but 3-batter minimum still adds strategy. Less pitching changes speeds up the game. The pitch clock absolutely was necessary. There was so much unneeded downtime between games. Even me as a purist can admit that. The runner on second base rule, you know, it's fine. It's not my favorite, but it's extra innings in the regular season. I get it. Teams don't want to over-deploy their bullpens. It's not in the playoffs. Ultimately, that's okay. This golden at-bat thing is, like, so much worse than any of those things. It's not like any of those things at all. This is not making an improvement to the game. You're fundamentally changing, like, one of baseball's biggest rules, which is that, you know, the best players can only hit once every four times, or, you know, or not even once every four times, once every nine times, and they might only get four at-bats is how I meant to word that. Like, you know, if you have situational baseball, and the whole point is you The whole point of a batting order is, and why baseball is the ultimate team game, and why you need depth on your roster, is because guys at the bottom of the lineup need to basically get it back up to the top, and you try and bat around in an inning and stuff like that. There's absolutely no way. Like, Rob Manfred's already been like a pretty bad commissioner. I think that kind of gets thrown around a lot too in sports. Like, you know, Adam Silver back in the day, David Stern goes out and makes a pick in the NBA draft, and everyone freaks out about how awful he is. I don't agree with that. Like, that, you know, those guys have grown the NBA, and Roger Goodell's grown the NFL. Rob Manfred like doesn't have a clue if this type of rule got approved. It's also pretty funny that there's this clip going around of Dan Le Batard and Stu Gatz. Stu Gatz proposing this rule like years ago on the Le Batard show, and Rob Manfred laughed at it, and now they're seemingly considering it. I'm going to really hope this was just an attention ploy, that no one in Major League Baseball is actually considering this. It would be a total joke if they were, frankly. I also just have like a million questions about it. Like, let's say you do it. You know, Bryce Harper comes up, bases loaded, they're down, you know, two runs, and Rob Thompson deploys Bryce Harper. All right, so he strikes out. Obviously, he's allowed to go back up again. Now he can be deployed. Or no, he doesn't do. Let's say Bryce Harper's due up, bases loaded. He hits, strikes out. All right, so Thompson can deploy him again to just hit again for whatever, just because. So he's going to hit for a second time in a row, which is just insane, and not how pitch sequencing works. It's not how literally anything works in baseball. Okay, so now he's going to hit again, but let's say he got a single. Let's say he got a single and moved up the runners, and now it's a one-run game or it's a tie game, but the inning's still alive. Game's still alive. He didn't walk it off with a home run. So now he's standing on first base. Does he have to do you have to deploy a pinch runner for him, and then he can still come back in the game? Like, are you really screwing with two rules here now? Like, does it have to be someone who's in the game? You can't have substituted for them. You know, that seems like it's very unbaseball also. Like, you take a guy out, you're done. That's how baseball works. So, I mean, this is no reason for this. I can't picture a game, Rob Thompson literally going out to first base saying, "Hey, Bryce, you're out, but now you're going to go hit for yourself while someone's pinch running for you at first base." Just, it's not okay. It shouldn't even be entertained. I even hate that I'm like giving this any kind of momentum right now. Baseball would be a joke if it happened. It would really be the worst rule change in the history of sports. It's not something I would warm up to. It would be unbelievably stupid. It's not exciting or interesting or fun or baseball, and it's just it would literally just be horrendous. Like, how would pitching change strategy work? The layers, me as a baseball fan, just a former baseball coach, and I like to think as a manager, I keep score at games. Like, what the hell would that look like? It boggles my mind. It actually like hurts my brain. Like, they just trying to destroy baseball? Like, what are they getting at here? Is this a gimmick to try and get more people involved? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why people would go for this kind of thing. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why anyone would be interested in this kind of thing. Again, casual baseball fans aren't going to tune in for this. So now you're going to have a walk-off because Bryce Harper gets two tries to walk off the game. Like, no, the whole point is, like, some of the suspense of baseball is like this guy, you know, this is the game here. This is the bat of the game. If I had a dollar for every time my dad turned to me and said, "Hey, this is the game here," you know, when Bryce Harper comes up in the eighth. No, it's not the game, because he's going to come up again in the ninth because Rob Thompson's going to deploy him as the golden bat rule. It would change everything. And I don't think anyone who supports this actually thinks about the game of baseball or how that kind of thing would work. Because if you did, you wouldn't be supporting this rule. It's literally as simple as that. I question your baseball IQ if you possibly like stand with this. That it's literally that bad. It's literally that drastic for me. So that's where I'm at with it. I can't picture anyone liking this. I can't picture anyone supporting this. It is truly that bad. So that all in all has been today's Phillies Today podcast. Again, Juan Soto about to sign for $700 million. Did not even entertain the meeting with the Phillies. Looked like we were going to get the courtesy meeting there for a little bit, but that is not to be. It looks like, you know, maybe Kyle Tucker's on the move. Maybe there's still talks for Garrett Crochet. Alec Bohm to the Mariners. That was another rumor on Monday. So very, very interesting stuff. And then it's the golden at bat rule, which hopefully this is the last we ever hear of it. I hope this does not get... He said it was gaining momentum. I don't know what owners would vote for this other than owners who just plan to sell their team the second they vote. Like, what a stupid, stupid rule. Anyone who gets caught voting in favor of this should be forced to sell their team. Like, that's how strongly I feel in favor of it. It is just totally, totally insane. So anyway, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Again, you know, subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow along whenever it else hosts it. You know, myself, Kyle Forsini, Francisco Rojas, Justin Morgenstein, everyone, you know, on here, just great, great work. And I'm going to have to check in with them, see if any of them support this rule. They're all pretty good baseball guys. I would seriously, seriously doubt that any of them do. But they will, should be, they deserve to be publicly shamed if any of them do. So, that's the latest happenings of the offseason. Winter meetings coming up again next week. That should be really, really exciting. Hopefully we get a little nugget here or there. But as of now, it's looking like Juan Soto is going to be the main prize that signs winter meetings in Dallas this year. The GM meetings in San Antonio, winter meetings in Dallas. Usually go somewhere nicer like Florida, California, but I guess they're doing it all in Texas. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's episode of Phillies Today. Tune in next time. Thanks.